Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ask me. Ask Eliza anything. It's time to ask. Ask me all your questions. Leave them in the Instagram comment section. Leave them on your Twitter. Or leave them on your Facebook. We'll see them. We'll read them. Then we'll give you answers. You know it. I've got it. I've got the answer. The answer. You ask me. I'll tell you anything. Help. 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 Help me.
Check. Check. Dog hair on the mic.
Yeah, that's, I have hair on my mic. Somebody, was it you that somebody said that about? No, it couldn't have been you. Sounds I must have right. been watching. No, I was watching an Instagram live and someone was commenting on one of the people's hair on the mic. It's like, what are you supposed to do?
Go hard on the mic. Mustard on the beat. You know, DJ Mustard, how he like produces songs and you always listen to rap and it'll be like, mustard on a beat. Anyways, that's what people... Mustard on the beat. And when I was breastfeeding Sierra, if she would, sometimes babies like don't clamp on when they're eating and they just kind of go loose. I would say, mushy on the teat. To myself, alone, as moms do. Mushy on the teat. Folks, we are going to do a new segment. Well, it's not new. It's an addition. It's like supplementing an old segment. So at the end of the episodes, we have Top of the Cob, which I want to talk to you about. You know, Emily, when I birthed the idea, when I created the barnstorm that is Top of the Cob, I guess I wanted it to be more like things that people could identify. I'd be like, you know, that feeling when you thought it was going to be something, but then it wasn't. And then people are like, oh my God, I love that feeling. I hate that feeling. But it sort of devolved into you only talking about your cat, I have to be honest. And... So what we're needing is more, less specific and more like when you think their TSA is gonna take all of your drugs, but then they let you through. Like it's gotta be more like so people can be like, yes, I know that feel like when you thought that person was gonna be a bitch and then they were real sweet. So
I expect you have a really good one for this episode then.
Yeah, Emily, I do. Do you?
No, I was just given these new instructions. I'll think about it.
These are your marching orders. But it's less about you and more about what we want to do, folks, always. Because the more I tour, the more I hear people like the podcast, I want to include you in Top and Bottom of the Cob. So what does this mean? Well, it means through all the channels that you would submit your questions, you can now, we are starting a new initiative through government funding, you can submit your Top or Bottom of the Cob. You can submit one or the other. That way we can include more people. So at the end of every episode, in addition to our Top and Bottom of the Cobs, we will also be including a top from someone and a bottom from someone. And the best way to let us know is to, as your subject heading, even if it's a DM, just write at the top in all caps, Top of the Cob, colon, Bottom of the Cob. You're more likely to get picked if it's quick, not like, okay, so my brother's coming in from Duluth, but my stepsister, like, just like a quick few lines. And we'd love to feature your top and bottom of the cobs. And if you are featured on our show, you will be featured. You thought I was going to say win a prize. There are no prizes. There's no division for that.
No,
so that's
but
it. That's how we're kicking this off.
Important to note, because new wrinkle in things, email, sometimes you guys have like an automatic email signature. I err on the side of not saying your name unless you say, you can say my name. So if you submit a top or bottom of the cob, I'm saying your name. Top or bottom of the cob,
there you go.
There's no anonymity unless you say like top or bottom of the cob.
No.
Or, okay, you're anonymous.
Make up a fake name.
Okay, top or bottom of the cup, you're anonymous unless telling me otherwise. If you want your name said, okay, always tell me. Because I don't want to out anyone.
You're saying, tell me. It has to be one or the other. It's either do not say my name, and if you don't say that, she'll just assume you can, versus don't say, do say.
No, vice.
I'm saying, all right, you know what? It's your job. So whatever you want to do to make it more complicated, that's on you. That's on you. Whatever Emily wants. I like how I'm like, let me organize this for you. You're like, I got it.
You're not going to that email inbox.
Get your hands off my light purple body.
Did you see that person who's blue because they were drinking hydrocolloidal silver for the last 30 years?
Colloidal silver. That's a thing that it's actually in a script I just wrote, but that's like a thing that used to happen in like Victorian times. People would take colloidal silver and it would turn their skin blue. I think there's like a whole lore episode about it, not to promote another podcast, but I don't think we share an audience. I do enjoy it. I just got back from Florida yesterday. We played Tampa and Orlando and the Hard Rock Fort Lauderdale area, all three Hard Rocks. And the last show had about 3,500 people. Orlando, you were en fuego as always. Tampa, you're always a pleasure, folks. I had the best time. And I will be announcing my new tour dates, my mega tour. I'm not going to say the name of it. It's very cool. We got a lot of cool stuff planned for the fall. So that's coming out any day now. We're announcing that. Very excited. I really should know the date, but I've got a lot going on. So Florida was awesome. I will see you guys at Fantasy Springs Resort and Casino this Friday. It's in like Indio, like the Coachella Valley. So if you live in San Bernardino, just go a little further east. It's out there. So come on out and see me at this casino. Make me have such a great show that I'm too tired to drive home that night. That's how I'll know. If I get off stage, I'm like, could have gone another round. Then I'll probably just drive home. That's how we gauge it. It's always like, let's just go. And then an hour and 45 minutes in, you're like, please. See you out there. I'll stop and get a date shake. We'll see you there. So now for the show, date shake, tasty. Mm-hmm. You don't like it because I said date. Mm-hmm. It's tasty.
I want a milkshake.
It's nature's candy. It's milkshake.
Nature's candy. They say grapes is nature's candy. Everything can't be
grapes.
Nature's candy.
Are nature's candy. And you know what's nature's candy? A dried jujube. Something that I had never had until I moved to Southern California. I think it's really big in like Filipino culture, Asian cultures, jujubes, but get you a bag of dried jujubes. They're like caramelized raisins and they're gigantic. Cut to me Googling, can dogs have jujubes? The answer is yes, but they watch out for the pit. Delicious. It's like tiny, buttery leather. Looks like a giant raisin. Anyway, you got questions. You know, I think about other podcasts and what they talk about and all the things they say. A lot of podcasts, like they'll just throw around words that like are definitely on like a no burden list. And they just talk like, I was fucking this girl and she squirted everywhere. Like our podcast it's a softer lift. This is not the finger blasting podcast. This is come here, get some hardcore advice. We try to keep it light. And I'm just saying, yeah, I just talked about how much I like jujubes. Some people like a nice ride to work.
I think we can still also keep it a little more low key because we're not a video podcast. And I think when you're on a video podcast, you're just like, yeah, like you got it. Cause you got to bring something to it, right? I couldn't just be slumped over in the corner. Yeah. So
I think of those as like hot Cheetos and a Four Loko, and we're like a spicy hot cocoa. I could be really edgy. I just don't. It's just not. I don't like saying things and then I'm like, ugh, should I have said that? Do they need to know about the first time I had sex in a car? I'd have to make it up. Have you had sex in a car?
No.
You're like, I've had sex on a car. Ask me about my last Tuesday.
There's a movie that I haven't watched where I think Cameron Diaz has sex with a car. Someone has sex with a car.
Stop.
Counselor.
No, I'm trying to make this hot and salacious. And you're like, back to a leading lady. You're like, yeah, I've had sex in a car every time I order Taco Bell drive-thru. Let's get to it.
I just found my Yokiro Taco Bell hat from your mom. I misplaced it in the move, but I have it back now.
Great. Then I guess we can just shut this podcast down because all the mysteries of the universe have been answered.
Hi, Liza and Emily.
Emily Higgins, keep it tepid.
The This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It used to be you just go to a party, have a bunch of fun, come home, not think about it. Not me. Not lately. I don't know. I feel like I'm annoyed by everything. I feel like little things kind of set me off. It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread ourselves so thin. Especially with all the directions that our minds are pulled, right? There's the news, there's social issues, there's your family, there's your friends, and then there's just the constant blathering chatter of the internet. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? And how do you spend your energy wisely? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more time alone, but kind of with other people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. This is actually designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge. No hassle. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza. Here's the truth. You probably eat bread a lot less than you used to or not at all because of carb fear mongering. The carb fear is real. Carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most, right? When you think of comforting foods, when you think of things you really want to dig your teeth into. Hero Bread makes the bread that you love, your same delicious favorites, free of consequences or compromise. At Hero, they've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And Hero Bread doesn't just make bread. They have something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops. I love this part because they have indulgent favorites like 2 gram net carb Hero croissants or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code Eliza at checkout. That's Eliza at hero.co. Are you skeptical about custom beauty? I am. My social media is nonstop flooded with not only beauty products, beauty influencers, it's just tons of stuff, tons of lies, all promising to fix my hair, my skin, my life. But when pros says custom, they actually mean it. It's not a gimmick. Your formula could not exist without you because every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors and they get personal, which I appreciate because to understand how someone lives, you have to know where they live. What's the UV index in your area? What's the water hardness? Is it cold? Is it dry air? You know, I live in LA. The weather is crazy. Next, they analyze all of that information and how it relates to you, and then Pros recommends a full routine of truly personalized products, which are only produced after your order is placed. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/askeliza. That's PROSE.com/askeliza for your free consultation and 50% off one-of-a-kind formulas. Pros.com/askeliza.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. I love this podcast. It has been a breath of fresh air and really the only podcast I listened to since having my daughter 6 months ago. I used to true crime, but now my brain is different as a mom.
Thank you. Wait, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
It is. Like, I think blood is very funny and certain types of death, but ever since becoming a mom, I'm like, I don't, like, if anything involving murder or someone dying or even getting arrested, I'm like, let's switch over to something softer. Let's just watch Great British Bake Show. Bake Off?
Bake Off.
Bake Show. Bake Down. It's the Bake Down. Anyways, I get you. We're here for you. Welcome to the soft lift. Welcome to the softer side of the internet, but there's still a lot of blood and puking.
And diarrhea. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't like that excitement. For context, I am a 32-year-old female with a master's degree in accounting, and my husband, my daughter, and I live in Missoula, Montana, while my husband goes to law school. I work full-time from home as an auditor while my husband and I tag team childcare. I do not get out much except for an occasional brunch or dinner with my small family. The other evening, around 4:45, we decided to walk down to a bar close to our house for one happy hour drink with another couple. More context, this bar does not serve food. We brought our baby in the stroller, her newest favorite thing, and she slept while we had a drink on the patio. The wind picked up and I was afraid my baby was cold, so I asked the group if we could go inside to finish our drink. We were not inside for more than 5 minutes before a woman approached me and said, "Really? You're okay with having your baby in a bar? We are all concerned for the baby. Is the baby okay?" I was caught off guard and didn't know what to say, so I just said, "Yes, she is okay." The woman then went to the bartender and asked her to make us leave, which she did.
Oh my God. What? That, what? That's an infringement. On your rights to be in public as a human.
I felt so.
Oh, man, no, the bar is 21 and over.
Oh.
20. I don't know. I don't know what weird ersatz laws they have out there in Montana. Well, that's the other thing. It's weird that there's, I don't know. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
I felt so horrified and ashamed and walked outside while the others paid. Then while I was outside, the woman came outside to the patio and high-fived her friend and said, "I got the baby kicked out." And her friend yelled at me, "Get a babysitter if you want to go out. Take the baby home." All of this was before 6 p.m. I'm having a tough time getting over this for some reason. My main priority in this life is the development, safety, and well-being of my baby. I love her and would die for her. That being said, I don't want her and I to become shut-ins. My question is this. Do you think I did the wrong thing taking my baby there? Have you experienced anything like this since you became a mom? Thank you for your time. C.
Ugh. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. You know, this is not cut and dry. I got to be honest.
No.
Because a bar is 21 and up. And I find that even comedy clubs are like pretty stringent about that. You're like, "Oh, it's just my niece. She's 14. Can she just come in?" Nope, they cannot come in. So I do understand. Here's the thing. Like, she's not wrong in her, in the rule. Perhaps she was wrong in her execution and sentiment.
Yeah.
If it is a law thing, like 21 and up, it does not matter. I get that. There's so many issues here. What we're talking about is a war on like women with children versus women without. Like, you don't know what that woman was going through. And that was obviously very deep-seated. I doubt she has kids. And there is this weird thing with like, what?
Or she has a kid and she was kicked out of a bar and she's been holding that and has been waiting to kick someone else out.
You don't know. Or this woman never wanted kids or couldn't have kids. Like, you don't know how personal this was. However, I will say in defense of the monster that was such a giant B to you getting kicked out, when you are without your children, whether you are single and just going out, whether you are childless, whether you're just out for a good time or whether you hate your kids in their home or if you want a break from your kids, there are spaces that are child-free and it creates a certain ambiance. I will tell you, in my single years or in my non-child years, if you go to a bar and you see a baby, it takes some of the sexiness out of the bar. It makes it like a family experience. Look, you're going out to get loaded, as she was pretty early, going out for an adult time. I don't agree with how shitty restaurants can be about kids. I understand kids are difficult, but there is a war on people with kids. And the people without kids feel that they are at war by not having kids. Everybody feels bad. I understand not wanting to see a baby at a bar. I get that. But I think that's more on management. I think she tried to cloak it as if she's worried for the baby when she isn't.
No.
What she was saying is like, this isn't a hot time. And I get that. So maybe it's quietly going up to the manager. And that is on the manager. That is on them to say, like, "Unfortunately, we can't allow your baby." If that is the law.
Right.
I don't know what the law is, but let's say.
I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, I think it's in her execution.
Yes.
I think there is nothing wrong with bringing your baby to a patio and having a drink. I think that's incredibly normal. And anyone with a kid would understand that.
Here's the problem. It might be the law that the baby's not allowed in there. Okay. This woman didn't do it because of the law. She did it out of spite.
Yeah.
She high-fived her friend. She questioned your parenting.
That's so gross.
That feels horrible. So and I understand why it's sitting with you. That would haunt me because this person went out of their way. They left their their afternoon drink to come ruin your day. You guys were having one single drink that you nursed on the patio and brought inside.
It doesn't matter if you were having five.
Right, but
it doesn't. I'm just saying, like, and you're also right in that you're like, this was super early.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this woman does not go up to couples. Some people, some cultures keep their kids out very late. And the kid's in the stroller and the parents are eating. This woman's not going up to those people and saying anything. So what's haunting you is, what's really haunting you at your core is that this woman was so aggressive and you said nothing because you were so thrown off by how out of bounds she was. And you know what? You're the normal one. It's normal to not have like a ready attack response to someone like that, because who the fuck would do that? I say, find out the policy. Take your kid. I understand that I got cold. Maybe you should have looked at that, but who fucking cares? Take your kid to a bar patio. We did that in Charleston. We went at like 5 o'clock with Dreams of Sierra hanging out while we had a drink, and she didn't. And she was very loud. Now we had to leave. So just in the future, you need to be, and I get it, because in the moment, you know what? I'm going to give you advice that I don't know if I would follow, because in the moment, you want to say, why don't you mind your own business? Why don't you mind your own business?
Yeah.
But because you're not a crazy person, you don't come like ready to scrap.
Yeah.
But you didn't do anything wrong. And she's so, that woman is dealing with so much shit. If you're going to hide, she was also drunk. And just think about how miserable she probably is going home to whatever reality she has, that you have to do that to a mother. Where were your friends? Where was your husband? Like, what was happening? Why was no one saying like, hey, like, get the fuck out of our faces?
Right. We're having
because it's Montana, so everyone's got a firearm.
I just don't understand. What, again, like maybe legally, okay, fine. The baby can't be in the bar, whatever. But these people were gunning for you and that feels bad. Regardless of like, you didn't do anything wrong. Yes. You might have, maybe you weren't supposed to be there. Okay, you were informed, you left. You didn't break the law. You were at an establishment paying money for drinks. Like that's not illegal. But it's just, these people going out of their way, it just feels bad to know someone's been sitting there just like mad at you for something. You didn't do anything. It sounds like your baby was asleep.
It's a war on women with children, as it always is. Just like she feels there's a war on her. The issue is if she really didn't like it, and I get it. I get it. I don't like seeing kids before I had kids. Like you don't want to go to like a hot restaurant or a bar and see a kid. It fucks up the vibe. And we are all entitled to spaces where we get what we paid for. So I do get that. I don't know legally what you're entitled to. If it were about the kid, which she wasn't concerned for, she would have said something to the manager, which I find the most satisfying is going over someone's head and secretly fucking up their day and they never knew it was me.
Right.
She was wrong. At the end of the day, she was wrong.
Yes.
And she's miserable. And also tell your friends to fucking step up. It shouldn't just be you shouldering that weirdness. I'm sorry that happened. But guess what? That will never happen again. That was a fucking weird one-off thing. And in the future, you'll know. You'll be ready to be like, if you've got a problem, go and get the manager. I'm not talking to you. You don't work here. Although you spend enough money that they probably should make you a partner. Fucking alky.
Okay.
That's awful. You know what though? Yeah. But when it comes down to it, I'm always like, say these things to people. And I'm always just like quiet because you know, people are nuts.
Yeah.
That woman definitely has a tiny pink 22 caliber pistol with the name like Jenna inscribed on it.
Yeah.
And that, but there's also maybe fight crazy with crazy. The next time someone does that, you'd be like, get out of here. Don't talk to me. What if she's just like, oh, okay, sorry. Sometimes when people are rude, they don't realize like how if you out crazy, they're crazy, that they'll get real quiet. Or they go crazier and everybody loses.
Yeah. Or you say, the baby bought this round. Be respectful.
I don't want a baby in a bar either, but a baby on a patio, I don't care.
Yeah.
Baby bought this round.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. I, 14, female, living in Australia. Started watching your Netflix special in 2021. I soon found your podcast. I'm enjoying listening to all your Q&As. Here is my question. I have a friend who's been going through some tough times. You're super close. And used to have small times apart, but never anything big. Found out a couple of weeks ago that she was talking crap about me, agreeing with one of my other friends that I'm mean and didn't deserve something I've been working for during half the year. She doesn't know that I know about this and is acting super clingy and being really nice to me. How do I say I know what happened and I need a break from her? I know she has a hard life and I don't want to hurt her, but I don't know what else I can do as I don't feel comfortable hanging out with her. I know your questions are normally bigger life issues and from adults, but I just want to give this a try. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
So you're 16.
14.
No, they were 14 in 2021.
No, I'm 14 and I started watching your Netflix special in 2021.
Oh, sweet hat. Look, girls this age are like this. She's jealous. She's jealous of you. She wants to be you. This is a very normal girl on girl, which hopefully you don't get that joke, dynamic. It's totally cool if you just tell her that. It's totally cool if you say to her in very adult terms, And by the way, make sure what you heard was correct. Ooh. Because you don't know if the other friend is poisoning her. But let's say you verify it and you know she did it. It's okay. First of all, you could mess with her and just write a note that says, "I know what you did." She'll be like, "Oh no, she knows." You can just say to her, "Hey, I just want to let you know you really hurt my feelings. I know what you said about me. I thought we were closer than that. So I'm just going to take a break." And that will stun her. And it will probably like set her on a different path for the rest of her life. But it's all about, and we talk about this on the pod, on the podcast, making yourself, I'm trying to say it in your language so you understand, making yourself comfortable. And she did something really shitty to you and you deserve to say to her, "That really hurt my feelings. And I don't know if I can trust you." You know, she's just a kid, give her a break. But all little girls get jealousy, get frustrated, all people do. So just decide if it's worth having her around. Need I remind you of the, is it a parable? The story of the scorpion and the frog. And the scorpion says, "Get on my back. I'll give you a ride across the river," which is weird that a frog needs a ride because they can swim.
No, the scorpion rides on the frog. You know what? Okay, you've told this story on the podcast wrong before. Okay?
But also there's so many flaws. Like,
the
frog says, "Oh, that's right." The frog says, "I'll give you a ride." That makes more sense.
"But you're not going to sting me, right?" And the scorpion's like, "No, of course not." And then he stings
him.
And they both die. And so the frog's like, "What the hell?" No, in the water. Like, he kills them both. He's like, "What the hell? You've killed both of us." He's like, "Oh, it's in my nature."
No, he didn't kill both of them. Why would the scorpion? No.
Because
he gets
him
across.
No.
To the other side. Yes. Did you Google it?
No.
Listen, only one of us has told this story wrong several times, but told it right the first time, and that's me. And he gets him across and he stings him. And the frog says, "You said you wouldn't sting me, and I was so nice to you. Why did you sting me?" And the scorpion says, "It's in my nature." Now, I don't think a 14-year-old girl needs to be assigned a nature.
Wikipedia probably just says jealous. Midway across the river.
I hate you. How's that?
Because.
Anyways, little girl in Australia.
Don't call her just a little girl.
She's a little girl. She's 14. Fine. Hey, big girl. How's that feel? Pretty bad. You just got to decide if this is a friend worth having. There's this line in 30 Rock. Tracy Morgan says, like, "Is that thing what white women do where they're afraid of their best friends?" Only women do this. So cut her out. You're 14. You're going to be going into high school anyway, or upper school, whatever you guys call it. Probably won't be friends anyway. But let her know what she did hurt. Yeah. Give her a chance to apologize.
Yeah, she definitely is just jealous. Never thought you would hear it, and we'll feel bad to know that you did hear it.
Yeah, now it's international. Now we all know what Jacinda did. I just picked the name of the New Zealand Prime Minister. I was just trying to think of a name.
Australian name.
It was New Zealand. I fucked up. But she's also not the Prime Minister anymore, unfortunately.
Hello, hello, AIA crew. I'm a 30-year-old single gal and have been a trucker since episode 1 in the tales of Kashi, Goli, and Crunch. And in all this time, I've never had a question that I thought Eliza and Emily could weigh in on until now. I was listening to Spicy in the Head, last week's episode, as I was laying in bed and sat up straight when I realized I finally needed your advice. Buckle up, ladies. This includes Snow Peach. Buckled the background. In November, my boss brought me on to a project that involved working with another team within our organization. I've been working with a new group of people, all of whom are awesome, smart, easy to work with, and we all get along great. There's one guy, let's call him T, who I've been working with practically daily for months because we've become the two people in charge for our respective teams. T and I get along great. He's 12 years older, but has a very youthful energy. Our work together has been mainly all done virtually. We live in different cities, so we're constantly talking on calls or texting, mostly always about work. During calls, we'll text in the background with jokes or complaints about the corporate nonsense we're dealing with. We've gotten to know each other decently and had met in person once earlier in the year during a big group meeting. He wears a wedding ring, and he often talks about his kids and their activities. But when asked how his weekend was or what he's up to, it's a lot of I or the kids. I have never, and I mean never, heard him refer to his wife. We've been in group settings where others would talk about their spouses, but he would never add to it. The event. We had an in-person meeting this week where T and I spent a few days working on the project. We spent hours together in the office. After the first day, we planned to meet up for a drink. Then another, then went to another bar, and we're out until the bar is closed. We started off talking about surface level stuff, but as the night and drinking went on,
got into deeper conversations about interests, travels, life, etc. There were definitely flirty undertones, but nothing creepy that made me uncomfortable. Through all of this, not a peep about a wife. Showed me pictures of his kids, talked about how much he loves being a dad, but not a single word about a partner. We shared a lift back to our hotels, and that was that. The next day was totally normal and business as usual, and as he was leaving, he said how fun the night before was and how we'll have to do it again next time we're in town. The question. Does he even have a wife? Could he be divorced but still wear a ring? From all the stories he tells, it very much seems like he's a single dad. I don't want to outwardly ask him because that is so awkward. What if she is dead? But also, maybe he's really private about that part of his life. I truly have no idea what the deal is, but I'm dying to know. What could the situation be that he can go bar hopping with a younger woman until late at night and it be fine? Maybe it's fine because the wife doesn't know. IDK, thank you for your wisdom. Let me know if you need more details. Hugs to all, especially hot Scotty. Anonymous with a work crush.
Okay, so this is super complex because the truth is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he's 42 with two kids. Possibly widowed or married or divorced, and you are free and single and 30 in another state, right? So what's eating at you is that the only reason you're somewhat interested in this guy is the forced proximity. You're talking all the time. This guy seems cool. He's probably good looking. And it is so natural to like become attracted to a coworker because of circumstances. I don't know what the name of the law is. It's the reason you become best friends with the kid across the street from you. It's the reason you marry the guy that you sat next to in homeroom. Like there's a proximity thing here. You probably would not give this guy a second glance out in the wild, but you are close because of work. And it's really mostly curiosity because you're like, oh, I want to know if this is fun and flirty, but I need to know the other puzzle pieces. You don't want to be in a relationship. And like, by the way, if you are in this and you're out in the world and you're listening to this podcast, then that's what works for you. You don't want to be in a relationship with a man who's 12 years older that already has two kids, who either lies, is shady, or is still grieving, which is fine, over his dead wife because he's still wearing the ring. This is all too much for you. Best case scenario, she's dead. In which case, that's a lot for you.
If she's dead and he's being, there's flirty undertones she's saying, he should say something to her. He should have at least made it clear. If he was interested, he would have indicated in some way that he was not taken, right?
Thank you.
He must know that you're looking at the fact that he has a wedding ring.
This guy, listen to me. If he wanted to, he would. If he wanted to kiss you, he would. If he wanted to spend more time with you, he would. There's the version, and it's understandable, where it's like, hey, here's this cute 30-year-old girl paying attention to me. This is totally harmless. And he's kept it professional.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a serious conversation. So far, no one's done anything wrong, and he doesn't owe you any information, but you want to know because you're kind of want to taking it to the next level in a weird way. Like, you wouldn't mind like a kiss or something. But the fact that he hasn't mentioned a wife either means he just didn't want to because he wants to see how much he can flirt, or he just didn't because he doesn't, or she's dead. But you can do the girl thing and do some creative internet digging, which I'm sure would be easy to do.
She must have. He must not have social media or she would have found it.
I think you're more curious than anything, but the truth is it kind of doesn't matter because this isn't the guy for you. And you don't want to be hooking up with a guy with like two kids. And he was willing to tell you all about his kids. Like, this is not what's sexy to you is that he's cute, he pays attention, and he's fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I would immediately create a dating profile, get on some apps, and start talking to guys that are more viable for you. It doesn't really matter. Because most of the versions of this are not okay. Like where he is married, or he's divorced but still wearing a ring, which is a little odd, or they're separating, or everything's great. He's just not talking about it. Like it's all mostly negative. So it doesn't matter is the answer, you know?
Right. The world in which he's free and single, he should have made that clear to you.
Yeah. And he didn't. So this guy's going to be like, yeah, I can't go out for a drink with a coworker. It's like, well, it's a little weird, but maybe you were all out together. It's normal to be attracted to someone that you're in close proximity with, but I would just sort of leave this one alone and just keep it professional. Use this as a test to prove like I can work with all types of people and like I'm not going to take this to a weird place.
Especially when it's the person though that like, you know, when you're in a meeting and you
well, I don't know. You're in Zoom, whatever you do for your fancy job, Eliza, and you look, you can look at someone else. You can text someone else like, oh, what's this idiot saying? You know, that's a powerful relationship.
Yeah, it's a little, slightly morally lacking on his end, but you know, it's okay. It's all about work. You're 30. People are going to get mad at me for this, but it makes sense as we get older that you're like, oh, I need to set my sights on a guy that maybe already has kids, because the older we get, like the more likely that is. At 30, you don't need to be doing this. Yeah. You don't want that. Maybe you do, but not from this guy. Okay. So file it under, pretend he's a weirdo with a secret and see if you're still attracted to him. But please let us know or give us his name so we can do some digging.
Yeah.
Please, please follow up. You guys just take my advice and then you swim away and I never see my fish babies again. So please come back.
When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today. I like investing in quality pieces and owning them forever versus buying and rebuying garbage and clothing made of plastic over and over. That's why I like Quince. They make owning luxury essentials easy because they have unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. Not everyone is a millionaire, but that shouldn't stop you from owning sustainable quality items that you wear over and over that always look great. Like a 100% Mongolian cashmere sweater for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Pare it down. Make your life easier. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I went to Mexico City recently and I wore shorts the whole time. Not just any shorts. I got my shorts at Quince. I got bamboo jersey maternity bike shorts. Bamboo is sustainable. I can feel good about wearing it. And the price was pretty nice. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Hello, Eliza and Co. This is a long one, so I'm going to jump in. Background. I'm 25, female. My entire life, from when I was little into adulthood, everyone has thought I was Jewish. In college, I made a lot of Jewish friends, and many of them said they assumed I was Jewish when they met me. All my roommates were Jewish. My brother was recruited and joined a historically Jewish fraternity his first year in college. Everywhere we go, people assume we're Jewish, but really we're Italian. Easy enough to
that
mix
happens.
Up. I mean, I
That's
guess
because you're
look
from the
Jewish.
Northeast. I guarantee you're from the Northeast. My dad always says the only difference is the color of the stain on your shirt. Like Italians have like marinara sauce, and I guess Jews have chicken noodle soup.
Clear.
It's more of an Italian thing. I don't know what it is. Gefilte fish gel.
My mom's birthday is in February. She got one of those DNA tests that tells you about your ancestry. She got it because she wanted to possibly reconnect with her family in Italy, see if anyone is a match on the app, etc. Apparently, her father has some German in him, but it's really uncertain how German he is since his dad died when he was a baby. Anyway, she got the test, did it, and got her results in April of 2022. This is where it gets spicy. My mom was under the impression she was 100% Italian her entire life at the time she was 52. When she opened her results, she was 50% Italian.
and 50% Ashkenazi Jewish. Extremely long story short, my mom calls her mother, and instead of saying anything about the results, my grandma gets on a plane and comes to our house the next day alone. She explains to my mom that she was adopted by her father when she was 2, and that when she was adopted, they got the state to void any record of my mother having a different last name, made it look like she was blood related to her father. My mother had no clue her entire life. My grandma was a teen mom. My mom's biological father left immediately after getting her pregnant, wanted nothing to do with my mom or my grandma because my grandma was Catholic. My grandma begged him to stay and was going through the process to convert, but he said that since she was not Jewish blood, it didn't matter. She gave birth to my mom and was a single mom for a year. When she met my grandpa,
grandma got pregnant by a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
This doesn't
Grandma's Italian.
Who was just like, I don't want anything to do with it. And she's like, I'll convert. And he's like, because you're, okay, got it.
Yeah.
So, got it. So the mom is, your mom is half Jewish.
Correct. Yeah.
Got
it. So that's what the, and that's what the DNA told her when she thought she was 100% like Italian, Catholic Italian. When she met my grandpa, they got married very quickly after dating. They then made copies of all documentation of the wedding so that it was in the past before my mother was born. They have the real copies locked up somewhere so no one ever saw them.
Italian secret.
They then had 2 daughters after that, my mom's sisters, who are technically her half-sisters. My grandpa is not German at all. They told my mom that, so if anyone ever questioned her ethnicity, she would have that tidbit about possibly being German in her mind and not question anything. My grandpa has no idea. My mom knows she's not biologically related because one rule before marrying grandma is that my mother could never learn she was adopted. My aunts have no idea and their kids have no idea. My grandma told my mom and me who her biological dad was, and she found out she has 4 half-siblings. One sister is 3 years older than my mom, and they met through the DNA test app. She was very kind to my mom and sent pictures of my new cousins. One of her sons looks exactly like my younger brother. Then, there's the other 3, which came from my biological grandpa's second wife. So now I have 2 aunts and an uncle who are all in their 20s. My uncle is my age, and the aunts are only a few years older than me. Found this out through looking my uncle up on LinkedIn and doing the math. Based on when he graduated high school and college, we are the same age.
This girl needs to get with the last girl to show her how to do internet detective work.
On LinkedIn. My problem is my mom doesn't want to reach out to her dad or her 3 other siblings at all, but I do. I really do. I don't really like my mom's side of the family other than my grandma, who is the most lovely person I've ever met. Everyone else is, this is putting it nicely, trashy. And my dad's family is uptight, and I don't like hanging out with them either. This feels like a way to finally have a family I like, potentially. They all live across the country from me, but I feel like they have a right to know about us, too. They're all really educated and seem cool. They don't have much of a social media presence, but from what I could find, they're at least interesting. No one in my entire extended family has gone to college but me and my brother, and I'm getting my master's in social work and working towards an eventual computer science master's after I'm done with this one. I consider myself really educated, so is my brother, and my biological grandpa is an international lawyer who still practices law and travels the world and knows multiple languages based on his public Facebook profile. And I've always been really drawn to the Jewish faith. I used to look up ways to convert to Judaism because I found it so rich in culture and interesting. To find out that I'm technically Jewish and have been in some small way denied a part of my culture and ancestry hurts slightly. My mom doesn't feel the same. She just feels angry and wants nothing to do with anything involving her biological father's family. I really, really want to reach out to this new family. I want to get to know them. But my mother is so against it, and she would be really upset if I brought that into her life. To her, it's shameful, and she just wants to pretend that she never learned about it and that these other relatives didn't exist. I live with my parents while I get myself through school, but me and my boyfriend are moving out in a year when I graduate. People have been telling me to reach out to my aunts and uncle when I move out, but I'm scared it would come back to her. If I ask her for her permission, I feel like she would get upset and angry at me and say I can't reach out and be betrayed if I do without her knowing. It's been almost a whole year, and I can't stop thinking about it. Should I learn to let it go and move on, or should I be sneaky and just message these people anyway? I feel that talking won't solve anything. Also, I do not get along with my mom. We are constantly fighting and yelling at each other since I was 12. I don't remember a time when we were happy together, and we know practically zero about each other. We don't even talk to each other when we're in the same room. Only bare minimum information or else we'll fight. Thanks.
2 things. 1, I'm sorry if this was a lot. Your grandfather, the man who got your mom pregnant, you're saying is an international lawyer? Your grandma pregnant?
Yeah, who ditched out, who wants nothing to do with her.
Right, and you're saying he's like this big international lawyer, whatever. Look, it's not like a time heals all wounds. There is a version where you reach out to him. But the guy doesn't sound awesome.
No.
Like, that's awful, regardless of your religion or culture, to like get a woman pregnant, men do it all the time, and then just ditch out. So he probably isn't aware of all this internet digging and all these capabilities. But this guy also is probably pretty old. There's a version where you reach out and he's like, oh my God, I always wondered. There's also the version, what if your grandma lied? What if your grandma never told him and the guy never knew and they broke up? Like, you don't know what the real story is. But let's say this guy is like not the coolest. It doesn't sound like they want to know. There's also, you know, like you could reach out and these kids could be like, okay, well, who's this person that grandpa, like they may not be receptive to it. You are wanting to feel whole. You're wanting to feel whole. And you have the right to understand the parts that make you up. You have a right to understand your genealogy and your ethnicity. In the Jewish religion, you said you're technically Jewish. You're not technically Jewish because your mom isn't Jewish. I don't subscribe to that. It doesn't make you Jewish, but ethnically it does make you a quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Half. Sorry, makes you half.
Because no, her mom
sorry,
is
quarter.
Half.
Right. Right, makes you a quarter. I think you're yearning to be a part of this. It could be some deep-seated ethnic thing where, like, you know, the Torah calls to you, or it's just the appeal of the unknown.
The grass
because
is always greener.
Grass is always greener. I mean, if you want to talk rich cultural ethnic heritage, Italians are right at the top of the list. That's a tough one. I think this all starts with your mom. I think you feel the fact that you guys don't get along. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Obviously, your mom seems like a little close-minded, but your mom's been through some shit, as has your grandma. And what you don't want to do is go searching for this selfishly and it like upsets everyone. Is your grandfather still alive? Your Italian grandfather?
It sounds like he is. So grandma, like, instead of talking about it on the phone, near grandpa flew to them by herself and was like, heads up, grandpa, like the condition was grandpa wanted you to never know, but I'm
telling you. So that's, there's something, grandma's a real one, you know, and she's been through a lot. That's tough. It's the question is what's more important, you know, your family that you have said is kind of trashy and you don't really like, or are you viewing them that way because of like through this lens? That's tough. Is your grandma cool with it? You know, because she's the one it happened to. Is she like, okay, you should secretly reach out? And your mom is just on the side of her dad. You know, your mom is just on the side of her adopted dad. And your mom, does your mom know about this? Sorry.
Yeah, like, so the mom is the one who got a DNA test and was like, hey, mom, grandma, what's up? And mom, grandma was like, as it turns out.
Your mom may not be able to like fully articulate why she doesn't want you to mess with this. I think you need to really assess what it is you want to know. I mean, you can always Google, find out if that grandpa is, I mean, it sounds like he's an Ashkenazi Jew, not a Sephardic Jew. You can always look about that. We all have this fantasy that we're going to reach out to other relatives and find out stuff. It doesn't seem like you're going to get a lot from them. And I understand that you're drawing these connections like, and I've always looked this way, which if you're Italian, it could look Jewish very easily. And I've always felt this way. I feel bad for you because there's a part of you missing. But I think you would be made more whole by, I guess, trying to talk to grandma and your mom more. It's a little weird that you guys like can't communicate. Maybe your mom's not the brightest, but this is stuff that they've been living with forever. So it's like this brand new information to you and you want to explore it, which makes sense. Can you do it quietly?
I think the concern is it would get back to the mom. But here's what I'm thinking. So this person is living with their mom right now who like, okay, you and your mom don't get along. Pretty nice of her to let you live there while you get your master's. You're moving out
here. Yeah, maybe just wait. Yeah.
Wait until you move out, but talk to grandma about it. Like, how does
talk to grandma.
You say you love grandma. Grandma's lovely. You say, how would she feel about you reaching out to these people, you know? Or does she know maybe how you can talk to your mom about it in a way that wouldn't upset your mom, you know? See where grandma lands.
This happened to grandma. She's the one that would be carrying the resentment or the trauma of getting pregnant by someone who was awful to her. And then meeting a guy who was like, let's just do this the right way. It is a very like Catholic Italian thing, like no shame to the family. And your mom's just, this is just the life that she's lived. And she probably resents your original grandpa. You know, there is a respect to these people who don't want to be burdened by all of this. Like that's a shitty thing to happen. So that might be, that might outweigh your desire to like publicly connect with these people. So I vote give it that year, and I would vote talk to grandma. Maybe after all this time, it's okay, but you don't want to make your grandpa upset who stepped in and did the right thing. And maybe like he has like an old school amount of shame assigned to this, you know? I think we're very quick as young people to be like everything older people hold dear, near and dear is stupid. You guys got to let this stuff go. But these are still people who lived a whole life and have attachments to things. I'm not saying people are allowed to be racist or something, but have some respect for the fact that these people have like lived this whole life, built it around this secret and endured. So just be delicate with it. Mm-hmm. But I hate to say this. You are Italian. You guys won in terms of food. You won all the cool culture stuff though. Just don't be so quick to trade that in for...
I mean, and maybe this other family would be like, oh, you're trashy too. You know, like they're not necessarily going to welcome you with open arms just because you're all
what if that happens? Like here's this like granddaughter of our esteemed grandfather. Like, look, maybe they don't want to know. Oh my God, you like maybe they'll hate him. Like, look what you did. And then they'll be mad at you. Like, don't assume it's going to be this warm, loving reunion. It might be, right. But they may not care.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Think about what it is you really want to get out of it. And if it's a Wikipedia page on Judaism, I will send it to you.
Is that how you learned?
That's how I learned everything. I just Wikipedia'd my whole culture. No. So we've kind of given you a half answer, non-answer, but at the very least, just wait till you're out of your mom's house so you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. Hi, Liza, Emily, baby Sierra, Chef Noah. I live in a neighborhood where most of the families have one or two kids under the age of 10. Our closest friends in the neighborhood have kids around the age of 5. One of our across-the-street neighbors has a very timid son who is very sweet but not assertive at all. I swear, I feel like kids come out of the womb who they are, but my daughter is very confident and very assertive, knows what she wants, and isn't afraid to ask for it. Sometimes she gets into trouble because she's still learning how to have manners. She's an only child, and she only interacts with other kids at school or on playdates, so those are the times when she needs to be using her manners the most. We try to work with her on it every single day because it's so important in life. But also, she's only 5 years old. So when she reaches her frustration level and wants what she wants, she can have a mini meltdown or yell at people. It doesn't seem anything out of the ordinary compared to other kids that I've witnessed. I've seen other kids yell and have meltdowns for various reasons. There's a mom across the street, the mother of the timid 5-year-old, who has kind of an open door policy at her house. She lets the kids build forts and just go wild inside of her house. So they love going over there. But yesterday we were all walking in the park with the kids on scooters and she started ranting at me how the previous day my daughter was yelling at her and another neighbor mom about what she wanted. She didn't have manners and how that's not appropriate. First, I was apologetic because of course I want my daughter to have manners. I'm working with her on it every single day, but I don't have some magic wand to make her a perfect princess. She's still her own individual. However, the mom started going on a rant about how she never uses her please and thank yous. She's very demanding. She better prepare herself and I better prepare her for kindergarten, which is starting the fall, because the teacher's going to have 35 kids and they cannot stop the whole class to make her happy. And if she continues this kind of behavior with no manners and being rude, then she's going to be singled out. It's going to go on her permanent record. She could possibly get expelled from school.
There's no permanent record
in kindergarten.
Because you didn't say please, they're going to expel you. That's so sad. Like, why did you end up working in this garbage pit? Well, I didn't say please in kindergarten. It went on my permanent record. And they expelled me.
I literally laughed out loud because we're talking on a 5-year-old. Yeah, she has a lot to learn in the manners department. I wholeheartedly agree, and I really do want her to work on that. And I am doing things. However, I don't expect perfection from a 5-year-old. She already goes to Montessori school Monday through Friday all day long and has gone to daycare almost all of her life, so she knows the routine of respecting her elders and playing fair. Every time we have the biannual teacher-parent conference, they say how she is a mentor to the little kids and she's a great help in the classroom. I know she's not perfect. I don't pretend her to be, and it's totally believable that she lost her shit on the two moms, but I don't think that they're going to expel a 5-year-old out of kindergarten for having bad manners.
No, this is all, of course not. Go on.
I'm a board-certified dermatologist and I work outside the home, so I'm not at home all day. The other mom is home all day and kept her son out of school until he was 5. He spent every single day with her.
Of course, I have some mom guilt because I'm not physically with her every single day, all day. But at the same time, I worked hard for my career and I want to be doing what I'm doing and supporting my family and earning $300,000 a year. Overall, I'm very happy with my life. My husband also earns a great salary and he gets to work from home. So she gets that stay-at-home parent experience because he picks
her up.
Okay,
wait, hold on. Stop.
Yeah.
There's so much qualifying.
Guilt. I know.
But no, it's just qualifying. It's what moms do. It's like, of course I want this. And of course I love her. Women of the world, you never need to say you love your kid. There's this weird like referendum, like, well, you must not love your kid because you said one bad thing about them. You don't have to explain yourself. I wish women wouldn't do this. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to explain that you worked hard. You don't, none of this. This is all you. I'm not criticizing. I'm saying, I get it. And people need to be like, what's the, this whole email so far? Like it started out with like, of course I want to do better, but that mom's also a fucking a bitch. And of course my kid's pretty great. So what's the question?
So normally I would just brush someone like this off. Yeah. However, she literally lives across the street. My daughter loves playing with all those kids. We have a kind of neighborhood where the kids get to stay outside until the streetlights come on, which is super nice. I just wish I had something to say back to this mom because I was incredulous when she was saying how unfortunate my daughter's future was going to be because of her attitude and school was going to crush her. And I just laughed and said, good, it should crush crush all of us. I also said that there's no such thing as a permanent record because if there was, I would never become a dermatologist because I partied a lot in both high school and college. I just love Eliza's take on life and feel my daughter has a lot in common with her. LOL.
You know what? It's just so unfair. First of all, I'm going to say this because I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, what are we going to do when like little kids have to come over here? You know? We all remember the parents that were like, we all help clean up in this house. And we all remember the parents that are like, take whatever you want, run amok. There is the version where there's no structure at the other lady's house.
Yeah.
So maybe in some way your daughter doesn't see them, even though they are, as superiors or adults, because it is just like a giant fort, take whatever you want. You know, it's not structured like school. She is at playtime where the rules aren't as stringent. But you're not over there, so you don't know. And you don't know, did this woman see your daughter do one thing and she's just decided that's what it is? It sounds like the kids are so different.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's easy to look at another kid and be like, oh my God, not that, but mine's doing it well. Because you're not over there, you don't know. And what matters is that your teachers are giving this positive feedback. You don't know this woman. Like, that's a fully insane thing to say. And it's not coming from a good place. I'm sorry. It's coming from a place of, I saw your daughter do something. It bumped with the way that I raised my kid. So I'm going to say something really shitty to you. Do your best to brush it off. And you can say to her, be like, she doesn't have to come over. Like, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. All you can do is your best. And you're working with her. I work with Sierra all the time to say, please. And it sounds awful when she says it because she yells it. But these things all come out in the wash. I'm imagining a big part of parenting is not only enduring your own child, but enduring the idiotic, unsolicited advice of other parents. And so we can all sit here all day and poke holes and who parents differently and who does what and who whatever. But if the feedback from the teachers is good, you know, maybe talk to your daughter and be like, say it one more time. Like, always remember, especially around this lady. But I don't know. Can you go over there and just kind of observe for a little bit? Well, there's a grain of salt here.
Here's the tough part too, though, is that our question asker is like, yeah, my kid is a little asshole. I mean, she doesn't say that, but she's like, yeah, she's an only child. She does have an attitude. We're working on it, but she has an attitude. And the fact that she's doing great in like her classes, she's really helpful with the teachers, to me says,
yeah.
To backseat parent here, she's hanging out with the teachers because maybe the other kids are sick of her bossiness a little bit. I don't want to ascribe anything to your kid, but
we don't know.
She likes to hang out with the adults. She likes to do, you know, she likes to be in charge. She likes to get her way. That's fine. And she'll figure it out when she's in class. She'll figure it out. Kids aren't going to like it.
The other version is don't let your kid go over there. Or you can just say to the mom, be like, if my daughter's doing something to upset you, let me know. I certainly Text don't that. Want her in that environment. You know, there's other... And that woman would be like, no, she's welcome over. All you can do is work on it. And I guarantee you, if this were a little boy, this wouldn't be an issue. I'm not saying this mom is a bad person, but I'm just saying we tend to say words like bossy only when it comes to women. only when it comes to women. If it's a guy, he's just a project manager. This is your little girl figuring out her voice. Now, of course, you want to give her manners, but until you're over there watching it, like, I wouldn't be so quick to believe this woman.
It doesn't help that her kid's a little timid guy.
She doesn't want your daughter, like, talking over this. Some boys need it and some kids are just like this.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, every friend group has the friend that's in charge and then the friends that follow. And these are just personality traits.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if the mom kept the kid home and you sent your kid to school. Like, these are all parenting choices and these kids live on a block and they got to play together because that's life. So if she doesn't want your daughter over, she needs to say that to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Top of the cup.
Top of the cup.
It's the top of the cup. You're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
So just a reminder, if you have a great top of the cob that we would all relate to and like to hear, please write it in. If you got a great bottom of the cob, you cannot do both. We will only take one from each person. So we'll do two people, one top, one bottom per episode. Starting next episode, my top of the cob was initially a bottom of the cob, but I've decided to see it as my own private joke. Okay, it's like a semi-cob. So it's like a little bit of both, but we'll call it a top. Basically, American Airlines is not my preferred airline and I had to fly them this week. And they do that thing where at the in the flight, they're like, now that we have you as a captive audience, we're going to take a minute to tell you about our credit card, which we know none of you want. But the woman talking was like not a great public speaker and she was like struggling to get through it. She was like, the American Advantage Platinum Card, you can get the qualifying miles and plenty of perks. And she kept saying, and as you can see, it's a great value. And she kept saying, as you can see, but there was nothing to look at. Mm-hmm. And like, there weren't a ton of like, these people are going to fuck you. This is a credit card. They're not trying to give away anything for free. And so she just kept being like, you get 25,000 qualifying bonus miles, which as you can see is a great value. And there's plenty of other things, which as you can see, this would be a great credit card for you. So I just enjoyed how many times she said, as you can see, as she was like stumbling through this required speech that nobody wanted to hear.
Right.
And as you can see, it's the credit card for you. Thank you for flying American Airlines. We used to be a lot better. Sorry, it's not the 80s anymore.
My top of the cob is when I was sick with COVID. My little baby Cokes didn't have any flavor. And now I'm back in action. And that first sip of a baby Coke, so sweet, so good, so refreshing.
Get back, Gwyneth Paltrow. Emily's here with her nutritional tips. You like Coke? Get you a baby Coke. It's a little bit less Coke and you will drink more of them, but at least it's smaller initially.
It's so small.
Move over, bone broth. Baby Coke is here. My bottom of the cob is on stage in front of 3,500 people in Hollywood, Florida. I was doing a bit where I was hitting the microphone on my leg and I hit the side of my fucking knee. You know that little bone that juts out on the side? It's like a tiny little horn. I hit that. I cracked the microphone on it. And I think it was imperceptible to the audience, but I was like, there was a split second where I was like, do I have to stop talking? It hurt and the adrenaline kicked in and I got off stage. I was like, okay, I feel okay. And I woke up the next morning. There's nothing worse than being hurt, but there's no visual proof. So people just think you're annoying. It's just a little red. You wouldn't even notice it. There's no bruise, but the entire muscle, like I think I bruised the bone and the entire muscle around it. It hurts to like extend my leg. I was struggling yesterday, like just kind of like slowly walking around the house. Like it makes your whole body hurt. And so like nobody cares. Oh, like it's not like I'm an athlete or something, but like comics can't hurt themselves. And any major injury I've sustained on stage has been from hitting myself with a microphone on accident. And it really, really hurts. Today even, it's so sore. Anyway, what's yours?
My bottom is that feeling when you know you're going to be late for something, when you're like wrapping up something else and you're like, I know, like I have to get off this. I have to move along. I have to get in the car. And you're just dry. Whatever you're doing, you know you're going to be late and you can't do anything about it. I hate being late more than anything else in this world. It really makes
me feel
unwell.
I do too. It is a choice to be late. But if I am ever late, No one's allowed to say anything because I'm never late.
Please know that when I'm late, I feel very sick and unwell about it. And you don't need to say anything to me because I'm so upset.
Please know she feels unsick and unwell in general. And this only exacerbates it. So please be nice to her. Unrelated. Don't you think it'd be funny to get a dog and name it Senor?
Oh, yeah.
Senor, please. Please, Senor.
You should change her name.
Todo bien. To Senor. I mean, she already has so many names.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter what I call her. Bashir. Yeah. Sometimes we call her famed journalist Martin Bashir.
Journal.
All right. Folks, write in your top or bottom of the Cobb. Please give us updates, especially the girl with the family and then the girl with the guy who's flirty and 12 years older. Mm-hmm. We'd like to know these things. We love hearing those updates. Come see me this weekend at Fantasy Resort Springs? Fantasy Resort and Casino. Resort, Casino, and Springs. And Hot Springs outside of Palm Springs, Palm Desert. And look out for those fall tour announcements coming at you. So pumped for this new tour and the new merch we're going to have.
And a dog named Senor.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade, New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.